ask you to stand. We go to the Lord in prayer. Certainly we need Him tonight, as we do every time that we stand to declare His Word. We need His anointing and His help. We ask you, if you know the power of prayer, to agree with us. Remember us in prayer tonight. Father, we come before you, dear Lord, thankful for the service that's come forth, dear Father, thus far. Father, we're thankful for the the songs, dear Father, and the testimonies that we've heard. And Father, we're thankful for your presence, and we ask you tonight, dear Father, to anoint our lips and to anoint our mind, dear Father. We rebuke Satan, dear Lord, how he would try to come against us, dear Father, and confuse our mind, dear Lord. And Father, how he would come against the hearts and minds of the people, dear Father. We just pray a rebuke on him, that each and every one that's here tonight, dear Father, could hear your word, apply it to their lives, dear Father, and gain the help that they stand in need of. Father, anoint us afresh, dear Father, tonight, to be able to speak your word in clarity and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we were studying, just meditating throughout this week on what God would have us to bring, brought a question to our mind that I've been thinking about here lately. And it's a question that I believe that each and every one of us, saved and sinner alike, and I don't know the hearts of everyone here. There's many here that I believe are saved, but I don't truly know your heart. I truly don't know the intents of your heart. Only God can see into the deep recesses of your heart and know if you are truly saved. But a question that came to me was, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are truly saved? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not just casually thinking and saying, yeah, I'm saved because I've been saved for this many years, and so anytime that anybody asks me, I say, yes, I am. But really thinking about that question, do you truly know? Brother Shannon said tonight before they started to sing that he was glad that he could know that he is saved.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you tonight that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. But I believe that it would behoove each and every one of us, saved and sinner alike, to ask ourselves this question tonight. Because none of us are above slipping.
Right.
The devil is out to get each and every one of us, Brother Arden. Right. The devil is out to get each and every one of us to get us to let down, to get us to go astray, and to lose our salvation with him.
Right.
Tonight we want to talk to you just for a few minutes, and we'll try not to hold you very long, on some myths of salvation. There are a lot of myths to why people believe that they're saved.
That's right.
Different reasons that they believe that they're saved. And we want to talk about some of those tonight and try to expose some of those tonight, because there's so many people out here in the world today, Brother Tim,
uh-huh,
who believe they're saved but really do not possess anything.
Right.
They have a profession of salvation,
mm-hmm,
for some reason in their mind, but they really do not possess true salvation. There's never been a real change in their life. There's never really been that change of their heart and mind to where that they really truly have salvation. Jesus Christ has never came to really live in their life and become a part of their life. But yet whenever they're asked, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But you get to digging a little bit. How do you know you're saved?
Right.
How do you know you're saved? Why do you believe you're saved? And the answer may be a little different. Some people will say, I'm saved because I believe in Jesus Christ. And they'll quote the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Some may say that I'm saved because I went to an altar as a child. And because I went to an altar as a child, I know that I'm saved. I know that I have salvation. Some may say my name is on a church roll book somewhere.
Uh-huh.
It's written down somewhere, and because of that, I know that I'm saved. Some may say that I know I'm saved because I attend service every Sunday. Or maybe better than that, I go every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. And so because I attend church regularly, because the Bible tells me I should, I'm saved. That's not what saves you. Some people may say I'm saved because I hold a position in the church.
All right.
I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a trustee. I'm a deacon. I'm an elder. I'm a minister. But holding positions in a church, singing in the choir, being a Sunday school teacher doesn't make you saved. And there are many people out here in the world today that are doing those things Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, week after week after week, and have no true possession of Jesus Christ in their heart and life. All they have is an empty profession. And on Sunday, they're singing and praising God, and on Monday, they're out doing the same thing that they've always been doing. There's been no change in their heart and life. A friend of mine, and I think I've shared this with a few of you, but a friend of mine shared with me a conversation that he had with his pastor not too long ago. And this church is about 300 or 400 people. And his pastor told him that he believed that 80% of his congregation was not even saved.
Wow.
80% of his congregation was not even saved. If it was 100 people, that'd be 80. But with 400 people, that's 320. 320 out of 400 people, he said he believed that was not even saved. And he went on to say, I believe that that is probably a good percentage nationwide. Of people who go to church year in, year out, week in, week out, and believe they're saved, but really aren't. He said that the reason why he believed that and had seen that is he saw people who said they had been saved, but there had never been a change in their life.
Right.
They were no further along today than they were 5 or 10 years ago. At the same place.
Right.
Amen. If you believe that you're saved tonight, but you're no further down the road with God than you were when you first got saved, something's wrong.
Amen.
We need to check our experience tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. If we're no further along with God, if our relationship with Jesus Christ is not sweeter today and stronger today, Brother Tim,
all right,
than it was when we first started, something's wrong.
Right.
Amen. We should be growing daily.
Yes.
Amen. It's been said it's a daily work, and it is.
Thank God.
Amen. Daily, we have to work at this thing.
Yes.
Daily. John 3:3, and you don't have to turn to these scriptures, says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Except a man be born again tonight. Amen. That doesn't mean that you're the same person as you were before you got saved, Brother Preston.
Right.
When I read that, that tells me there's been a change.
Right. Amen.
When I read that, that's right, Brother Preston, it tells me of a fresh start.
Praise God.
Starting over again.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Shannon, whenever you got saved, was it a fresh start? Amen. You don't talk the same, do you? You
Praise
don't act
God.
The same.
Praise
Thank
God.
The Lord, there's a change that goes forth.
Thank the Lord.
2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man,
Amen.
Any man be in Christ,
Praise
he
God.
Is a new creature.
Praise
a new creature.
Yes.
Amen. Old things are passed away. Oh. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
Amen. And we've got so many so-called Christians out here, it's so sad, being fed supposed gospel that's telling them that they can't do any better.
Right.
But my Bible tells me that there is a change that takes place. We're not the same creature that we once were. And it's not in us. Brother Tim said tonight that if it was in him, he would still be sinning every day, all day long. But it's the power of Jesus Christ that comes from a true possession of Him in our hearts and lives, with us on a daily basis, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but a daily walk with Him. That's where it comes from, that change that takes place. Ezekiel 11:19 says, "And I will give them one heart." And I will put a new spirit within you, amen. Amen, I'm thankful for that new spirit. Amen, I'm thankful for that new spirit.
Praise God, yes.
And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh. Amen, God doesn't do a transplant. He doesn't take an old heart out of somebody and put it in you. He puts a brand new one in you. Amen. Brand new.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. We want to touch on these myths that we mentioned. Some may say that they're saved because they believe in Jesus Christ. And believing in Jesus Christ, I don't want you to take me wrong tonight. Believing in Jesus Christ is part of it. It's a big part of it. But simply a belief in Jesus Christ will not save you.
That's right.
Amen. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well." Amen. The devils also believe and tremble. The devil believes in Jesus Christ, believes in the person of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. So if all it takes is just believing, why is he not saved? It takes more tonight than just believing.
Amen.
Amen. In 1859, Jean-Francois Gravelet, better known as the Great Blondin, was the first man to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And he walked it several times in his lifetime. And he would go out there and do all kinds of tricks. It wasn't enough for him to just walk across that tightrope. But no, he would get out there, he'd ride a bicycle across, he'd do all kinds of things to amaze the crowd. And people would come from miles around to watch him cross Niagara Falls. I've never been to Niagara Falls, but I've heard that it's breathtaking. And it's huge. And it's just, I'm sure that whenever you stand there looking at it, it makes you realize how small you really are because of how large it is. But one time he was coming back across to the American side, and he was pushing a wheelbarrow. And when he got close to the side, he said, "How many people believe that I can push this wheelbarrow back?" And everybody raised their hand, hollering and cheering. And he said, "Who wants to ride in?" And everybody put their hands down. And the crowd fell silent. See, they believed as long as they didn't have any investment in it. Amen. And people today want to believe in Jesus Christ. They want to be saved, but they don't want to have a true investment in Him. They don't want the other things to come forth. They don't want Jesus cramping their style, so to speak. They want to continue to live their old life, do their old things, do the things they want to do, the things that they take pleasure in, but still be able to say they're saved because they believe in Jesus Christ. Believing, simply believing, will not get you to heaven.
Amen.
If you believe tonight that you're saved, and I don't know the hearts of the people here, but if you believe that you're saved simply because you believe in Jesus Christ, you need to check your experience.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Some will say that I'm saved because at some point in my life I went to an altar of prayer, bowed down and asked God to come into my heart and life. Many, many years ago, And that did save them. If they did it with a true heart.
Right.
But my question is, are you still saved?
Right.
Because, see, being saved is not defined by an instance in time.
Right.
Now listen to me. Being saved is not defined by one instance
right.
in time.
Right. But
rather by a continual walk
yes, right. That's good, brother.
With Jesus Christ.
Good.
Coming down to an altar of prayer, kneeling, repenting, crying out to God, that's part of it.
Right.
But once you get up from that altar of prayer,
right.
there's a life of living that
sure,
has to go
sure,
through.
Yeah. Amen.
You may say, I was saved when I was 10 years old. Or I was saved when I was 15. But my question to you tonight is, are you still saved?
Right. All right.
Yes.
Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt
all right.
that you're saved? Amen.
Good, brother.
It's not enough to simply make a profession. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen.
Amen. He must be abiding in us, and we must be continually abiding in him.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to have time tonight to exhaust the scriptures, but we want to, by the help of the Lord, to be able to expose some of these myths. And these are myths that are believed today.
That's right.
These aren't just things that Brother Scott made up.
No.
But these are things that people will tell you
sure.
today of why they believe they're saved. Amen. John 8:31 said, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue...
Right.
See, continuing to stay saved is a condition.
Right.
In programming, we have something called a conditional statement.
Right.
And what that is it says, if this happens, then do this, else, which means if it doesn't happen, do this.
Right.
And God has a conditional statement tonight.
Right.
He says, if you obey my word, if you continue in me,
right.
if you continue in my word and be obedient to me, then
right.
you can have salvation.
Right.
And if you continue in that and pass on, you can have eternal life. But if you don't do those things,
right.
this is what will happen.
Right.
And he has no choice. In the great judgment day, if you have not been true to His word, He has no choice but to cast you into the lake of fire and say, Depart from me, I never knew you. Romans 11:22 says, Behold, therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Another conditional statement tonight. If, otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off.
Amen.
Amen. This lets me know tonight, I'll bring it right down on Brother Scott. This lets me know tonight that I need to be examining my relationship with Jesus Christ.
Good, brother.
On a regular basis, Let us never get to the point where we think that just going to church or being part of the church of God or because my dad was this or because I've done this or I hold this position, I'm saved.
Right, right.
No. We need to, on a regular basis, look at our relationship with Him.
Yes.
Let Him examine ourselves.
Amen.
And say, God, am I where I need to be?
Right.
Amen. Am I where I need to be? And I promise you, if you'll do that, He'll let you know.
Amen. Yes.
He'll let you know. He'll let you know He's faithful to you. He'll let you know if everything's okay. Or He may say, son, daughter, I need you to adjust here a little bit.
Yeah.
I need you to make some adjustments here.
Right, brother.
And to be able to continue
we have to make those adjustments. See, it's not, once again, it's not one instance in time that defines whether we make heaven our home.
Amen.
But it is a continual walk. Amen. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Amen. We have to be obedient.
Amen.
That does away with this nonsense of us being able to do whatever we want to do.
Amen.
Live however we want to live.
Right.
And still be God's son.
That's right.
Amen. There are some things on our part. There are some conditional things on our part. Amen. I ask you once again, do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're saved tonight? Amen. Some may say, "I know I'm saved because my name is written on a church roll book somewhere." 2 Peter 3, you don't have to turn there. Starting in verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." If your name is in a roll book somewhere, it's going to be burned up. Amen. Don't put your confidence of your faith in a roll book somewhere. And there's a lot of people that do that. There's been funerals that I've heard about where the man or woman has lived a devilish life. But when they die, they go back and find that they were a member of some church and preach them right into heaven. But it didn't change where they were going. Because, see, God's got that conditional statement. If you continue, then you can have eternal life. Amen. Verse 11 says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life," which is the book of life. There is a book, Brother Tim. Amen. I'm not sure if it's a book like we see a book. I'm not sure if it's a huge volume that has all these pages and writing in it. But it says the book of life. And I know that if we're saved tonight, that our names are written down somewhere that's not going to burn up whenever this earth dissolves. Amen. I'm not basing my salvation that my name is written on some document at 226 Church of God in Marion, North Carolina.
Praise God.
Because whenever God, whenever Christ comes back, all of that's going to burn.
Amen.
What would happen then? Be scrambling to try to find it. It wouldn't be anywhere around. "Which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Don't base your salvation on some earthly roll book. Make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit,
and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, I could fool you. You can fool people.
Sure you can.
But you can't fool God.
Amen. Right, brother.
You can go and give your tithes and seem to be an upstanding member of a congregation somewhere, and they write your name down on the roll book. He saved, sealed, and delivered. But you may be just as devilish and ungodly on the inside.
That's right, brother.
See, God knows the intent of your heart.
Right, yes. Right. Amen.
God knows. Amen. And if you continue, your name can stay in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
But if not, it says He'll blot it out.
Right. That's true.
Amen. It says He'll blot it out. Some may say that I'm saved because I go to church every Sunday, or I hold a position in the church. But I'm here to tell you tonight that form and rituals won't save you.
That's right.
Going to church every time the doors are open won't save you.
Nope.
Amen. It's part of it.
Sure.
Amen. It's part of it. Dressing the part won't save you. It's part of it, but it won't save you. It's part of that continuing. See, there's a lot of things that we have to do to continue. But going to church or holding a position is not what saves us. And if we're banking our salvation on the fact that Brother Tim thinks that I'm an upstanding Christian, and therefore he's given me some position in the church, I need to recheck my experience with God.
Yeah, amen. Yes.
Amen. Because like we said earlier, you can fool people.
Right.
I know of people who have left our congregation in Marion, went to other congregations, knew they were not saved, but were offered positions in those other churches.
Absolutely.
Not Church of God. But offered positions in those other churches. Sure, come right on in. Come right on in. Be a part.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Amen.
That's true.
We need to check and make sure. Amen. So that we be not deceived.
Amen.
I talked to one of those people and I told him, I said, you need to be careful. God will give you over to a reprobate mind.
That's right.
You go on in this and press on in this and press on in this and press on in this, you'll deceive yourself into thinking that you're saved.
Oh, right. God.
And not have an ounce of salvation.
Good counsel, brother.
Good counsel. Amen. We can deceive ourselves, Brother Tim.
Yes.
That's why it pays us to check.
Amen.
You may say, well, Brother Scott, most of us here are saved tonight. Why are you bringing this message? I'm not sure. This is the message that God gave us tonight. But I do know that each and every one of us, including myself, needs to check our experience.
Right.
Absolutely,
brother.
Amen. Amen. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except ye be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Doing these things is not going to save us, except we be born again.
Amen.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees obeyed every little letter of the law. They had it down to the very letter, Brother Ken.
Yes, they did.
They obeyed it and they condemned those that didn't. They followed every little jot and tittle of that.
That's right.
But what did Jesus tell them in Matthew 5:20?
Yes,
he said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness
right.
shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
If form and ritual would get you in, the Sadducees and Pharisees would have had it made.
That's right.
Amen. Now these things are part of it. There's rules. There's rules in everything that we do. There's things that we have to follow. But those are not what saves us.
Amen.
Amen.
How do we know that we are truly saved? There's many scriptures that we could go to, but one that I just want to bring here is John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." Tonight I'm telling you, it's not just an instance of time of coming down to an altar.
That's right.
But it is a lifelong commitment.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Into Christ that is going to help you maintain your salvation.
Amen.
And make heaven your home.
Amen.
The devil wants to get us to let up, Brother Tim.
Sure.
He wants to get us to just coast for a while. He wants to get us to just rest easy for a while.
Amen.
But if He can get us into that condition, He can get us to stop continuing. And sooner or later, you'll turn around and look. And you'll say to yourself, how did I get this far?
Right.
Amen. That's why it pays us. It pays us to check our experience. Don't let Satan bring false condemnation on you tonight. But check your experience. Examine yourself. Amen. There's a song that says, "Search me, O God."
Yes.
Search me. I can't think of all the words to it, but it talks about searching me and knowing my heart.
Right.
Amen. See, we read the scripture there. God knows the very intents of your heart.
Yes.
I stand up here looking back across the congregation here tonight, and I look at each of you. And I want to think that each and every one of you want to do everything that you possibly can to continue in your walk with Jesus Christ. But only God knows.
That's right.
The very intent.
Amen.
Of your heart. Let Him search you tonight. Brother Scott can't search you. Let God search you tonight. As we stand, I ask the question again. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're truly saved? As the song leader comes, leads us in a hymn of invitation.